Have your Bibles turned to Job chapter 35. I want to just share a few thoughts with you tonight from this portion of God's Word, Job chapter number 35. We have just made scattered journeys through the book of Job, not tried to camp out and deal with a lot of things. There's a lot of things I could have talked about but didn't talk about. But I've just tried to share with you what the Lord touched my heart with and about. And we get into chapter 35. Elihu is still talking. We looked last Sunday night at some things of how Elihu, who was the youngest of the whole crowd, he had said in silence while the others had spoken. He had allowed Job to speak and the three friends of Job, he had allowed all that to go about. But then finally Elihu speaks up and he begins to talk. Now, not everything Elihu says is right. He along with the others have some misconceptions about Job. He starts out, and whenever he's talking, criticizing Job and accusing Job of some things, also the three friends of Job. But he does make some statements that are good, just like the others. And tonight in chapter 35, he still has some harsh words for Job and his three friends. And he says in verse 1, Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidest, My righteousness is more than God's? For thou saidest, What advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have if I be cleansed up from my sin? I will answer thee and thy companions with thee, Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? What Elihu is saying here, his idea is, you know, you don't affect God with whatever you do. If you sin, it doesn't affect God. If you don't sin, it doesn't affect God. He is in the heavens and higher than anything. And whatever you do, it doesn't faze God one way or the other. That's what Elihu is saying in those verses. And then he said in verse 8, Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. Here he says in verse 9, By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. He is talking about people in general, it seems like, because of oppression and troubles. He said they just cry out. And you know, that is the case. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost or whatever. If you have problems, you're going to cry out. There are people that have diseases and do not know the Lord, but they cry out in their pain and in their oppression. And Elihu says that that's natural. That's what people do. They'll cry out under the arm of the mighty. But then he says in verse 10, and this is where I'm wanting to look at tonight. He said, But none saith, Where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? You know what Elihu was saying? He said, you know what people do? He said people get in a hurt. They are oppressed and they are put down and beat down, and they'll cry out. He used the word none, and I don't think that's exactly right. I disagree with Elihu. The Bible is just telling us what he said. He said, none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? He says people don't cry out to God. They'll cry out in their hurt. They'll cry out in their pain. But he said they don't cry out to God and seek help from God. But I disagree with him. I believe the majority of folk do not. But I believe there are a remnant of people that know the Lord, and whenever their hearts are heavy and their burdens are great, I believe they'll cry out to the God of heaven and seek help and strength for their life. Why? He said, should they seek to Him, He said, who giveth songs in the night. I'd like to just share a few thoughts with you tonight about songs in the night. There are times, and I'll admit it tonight, there are times in people's lives, even in Christians' lives, that whenever they're overwhelmed with a problem, and they're troubled deep in their soul, that they'll cry out to a lot of folks. They'll cry out to a friend or to a neighbor. They'll seek a wise counselor and somebody that they can just tell their burdens to, and they'll talk about their woes. And I'm not saying tonight that's a bad thing. I am not saying tonight that's a wrong thing to do. There are times that I have sought encouragement and help and wisdom from somebody else. There are times when I didn't have an answer that I've called a preacher and said, you know, I just want a little advice, and I'd like to have a little help in this situation and circumstance of my life. But that does not replace God's help. That does not replace the kind of help that God can give to our hearts and to our lives. It's good to have Christian friends. It's good to have people that you and I can talk to and share our burdens with. But I thank God tonight that when my heart is overwhelmed, I'm glad tonight when I am facing a difficulty in my life, I'm glad that I can get on my knees and I can talk to the God of heaven, the Lord of glory, and find encouragement and find help and find strength for the journey of life. I'm glad I have Him who does give songs in the night season. You've got to understand the night season that he's describing. He is not just talking about physical nighttime. Whenever he's talking about night, he's talking about a time of trouble, a time of calamity, a time when difficulty has come into the life and into the heart. Nighttime throughout Scripture is equated with suffering and sorrow and struggle and even sin. You know as well as I do, it seems like the majority of difficult and sad things weigh heavy on us in the nighttime. It seems like in the day we can handle fairly well. Hard at night, hard and difficult to handle it at night. I don't know about you, but if my phone rings in the middle of the night, I don't think somebody's calling to give me good news. Most of the time, it's bad news. Something has happened and going wrong. If your doorbell rings in the middle of the night, it's not publishers' clearinghouse coming to award you $5 million. You say, oh no, something must be wrong. Something has happened that somebody has come in the middle of the night. I'm telling you this simply tonight, that nighttime speaks of trouble and difficulty and sorrow and sadness and loneliness in the life and in the heart. But he tells us here that there is one that can be sought. There is one that can be cried out to. There is one that we can look to for help. Notice the source of the Psalms. He said, but none saith, where is God my Maker who giveth songs in the night? The source of the songs is God Himself. It is God that can bring comfort to our hearts and our lives. There are times those nighttime seasons cause that confusion of our mind. They get us in a tizzy. They get us in a turmoil. They get us in a place. And we'll lay awake at night and we'll say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I wonder tonight, is there anybody? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think about it in your mind and in your heart. Is there anybody here tonight that you have ever laid awake at night trying to figure out the answer to some problem you were going through? Have you ever laid in the bed and you tossed and you rolled and you turned and over and over and over in your mind you were trying to figure it out? You were trying to understand it. You were saying, how am I going to come up with that? How am I going to be able to fix that? How am I going to be able to face that? How am I going to deal with that person, that situation, that circumstance of life? There are times that the nighttime confuse our direction and we toss and we turn and we wrestle and we fret and we worry and think of all of those things. And at times we'll even say, God, where are you in all of this? Oh God, are you not going to work? Are you not going to touch? Are you not going to help? But could I just remind you tonight that He is God, our Maker, that He has created us, and we are His own. Could I just remind you tonight that He has promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us in those lonely hours of the night, in those quiet times when others are asleep or at home and you and I are tossing and turning. I'm glad He's ever present. He is in our midst. He is close by to our hearts. I read over in Genesis 16 that there was a time that Sarah got jealous of Hagar and sent her away. Hagar ran away, and she got out in the wilderness. But God sent an angel by and began to talk to Hagar, and she met God by a place that was a well, and called the well Beer Lahairoi. You say, preacher, what in the world does Beer Lahairoi mean? It means the well of Him that liveth and seeth me. I'm glad you may be in the wilderness, but He sees you. I'm glad I may be in the darkness, but He knows where I'm at. I'm glad I may be a struggling and hurting and fretting, but I'm glad that my God is there, ever present, and knows right where I'm at and what I'm going through. The psalmist said, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike in thee. It may be darkness where we are, but God sees us as though it was light. I'm glad He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm facing. There's not anything that'll ever separate us from the love of Christ. Paul asked that question in Romans 8. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he asked several things. He said, what about tribulation? What about distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril or sword? He said, not any of those things. He said, I'm persuaded not any of them will ever separate us from the love of Christ. I'm glad He's ever with us. And by the way, I like that word, God. Did you see that in verse number 10? Where is God my Maker? He's not talking about the God of Islam. He's not talking about the religion of a thousand others. He is talking about the God of heaven who is almighty. I'm glad He's omniscient. I'm glad He's omnipresent. I'm glad He's omnipotent tonight. I'm glad He can handle anything and everything I face in my life. And listen tonight, you can take your worst problem, your biggest difficulty tonight, and multiply it by a thousand. And He still has power to handle that situation. I'm glad He is the source of giving us the songs in the night. He's the one that's able to give peace in the midst of the trouble and the trial of life. It's Him. We need to cast our all upon Him. We need to put all of our burdens, our cares, lay them at the foot of the cross. Lay them at the feet of the Savior and let Him bring peace and the song to our heart again. He is the source of the songs. Notice the supply of the songs. He said, where is God my Maker? Who giveth? Who giveth? I'm glad tonight He gives and He supplies the song in the night season. You say, preacher, that there's something just strange about that. There's something just seems odd about a song in the night. I can sing when the sun's shining. I can sing when things are going well. I can sing when all is healthy and white and all is running smooth. But I'm telling you tonight, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of the hard times, in the midst of sadness and sorrow, that God can come right into our circumstance and put peace and joy in our heart that the sorrows of life cannot take away. He giveth songs in the night. Do you understand what He's saying? It is not you and I by sheer determination that we say, well, I'm just going to keep a stiff upper lip. I heard the preacher say that I could have a song in the night, and so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bow up my chest. I'm just going to determine to hold out and hold on. I'm just going to put on my best smile, and I'm just going to tell everybody it's all right when in reality it's not. And I'm just going to act like it's okay. That's not what He's saying at all. He is saying that it's God that comes into the situation. It's God that comes into the circumstance. It's God who is light that shines in our darkness. And He gives the song in the night season. He is what gives peace and joy and satisfaction. It's not you and I holding out and holding on. It's not you and I determining to hang on to it. But it's God that gives peace and joy and grace in the midst of the trial of life. It's God that does that. You notice that word song. He giveth songs. word songs is interesting because it not only is talking about songs of singing of songs, but it is also the word psalm. The word psalm, which is a song. You know what? God, right in the middle of our Bible, put the psalms. 150 of them. I don't know about you, there's been a lot of night seasons in my life that I've gone to those psalms. Those songs for the nighttime. Found grace and help and strength. Last Sunday I preached out of Psalm 78. Had somebody to go out the door and say to me, and they weren't criticizing nothing. They just telling me something. They said, you know what, I heard a preacher say one time that if you can't preach out of the Psalms, you can't preach anywhere. And I kind of liked it. I said, you're right. Because there's so much strength, so much help, so much wisdom, so much encouragement in the psalm. Isn't it something how that God will take a psalm and give you a song in the night season, a psalm in your darkness, a word of encouragement, a word of strength, a word of help to lift you and encourage you and help you. There's time and time and time again that I have turned to those psalms in a nighttime season of my life, and God gave me a song in the nighttime of my life. Luther Bridgers was a young man when he started preaching, and as at an early age lost his wife and children in a fire, tragic fire. They were all gone. And he held on to Psalm 42 and verse 8 for years and years. It just seemed like that was just speaking to his heart. But he was clinging to that Psalm 42 and verse 8 where it said, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. Seemed like he just clung to that over and over in his mind. You see, darkness had enveloped his life. Discouragement because he had lost his family. But he clung to that in the night. His song shall be with me. Through that darkness of his life, there was a song birthed in his heart and began to stir in his soul. And he pinned down the words and says, there is within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, peace, I'll be with you in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. I want to tell you, there is just something about when God comes in and begins to give the song in the night, that peace begins to swell up in your heart and in your life. I'll be honest with you tonight, I cannot give you a song in the night. I can try to encourage you. I can tell folk I'm praying for them. I can weep with them and say my heart goes out to you. But I can't give the song in the night. But I thank God tonight there is a God in heaven who's watching over all and cares about our lives. And He can give songs in the nighttime of our lives. I see in this passage the source of the songs. I see in this passage the supply of the songs. But lastly, think with me of the setting of the songs. He says, who giveth songs in the night. In the night. In the most difficult of seasons. Only the Lord can give a song. You say, preacher, I get discouraged and I get out of heart. I don't know what kind of song I could sing. I don't know. If I sung anything, I'd be singing the blues. Oh, woe is me. I'm having it so hard, struggling in my life. Charles Spurgeon said this. Charles Spurgeon said, when we sing by night, there are three things we can sing about. We can either sing about the day that is over, or about the night itself, or else about the morrow that is to come. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, think about it this way. Let me put it this way. Whenever the night season comes and you begin to seek the face of God, you begin to think about things of the past. You begin to think about how God in days past has always been there. You think about that time somewhere back yonder in your life that you're lost and undone without God and in sin, and Jesus came by and saved you by His grace. You think about those times whenever you were up against the wall before and God made a way for you. You think about those times when you had stumbled and fallen flat on your face and you cried out to God in the dust and said, oh Lord, can you do anything for somebody like me? And it seemed like God reached down and picked you up by the hand and stood you on your feet and helped you go again. I'm telling when the night time has come and you say, preacher, I don't have a song to sing, you begin to think about those past times, the blessings of God. I think about David facing his Goliath, and he stood before Saul and he said, there was a day a lion and a bear came out and took a lamb out of the flock, and God gave me victory over the lion and the bear. And he said, God will take care of this old uncircumcised Philistine. There's something about those songs of the past, of God's blessings, that'll lift your heart of encouragement and strength in God. But you know what? You can also ponder and think about the present situation. You say, think about the darkness? Yeah, but I'm telling you, you think about it like this, it could always be a whole lot worse. Do you realize that? It doesn't matter what you and I go through. It could be worse. It could be worse. You know what? There's times I look around and I think, oh my, you know, I'm having it difficult or hard about certain things. And then I look around and see somebody else that has it a whole lot worse. And I thank God, you know, it could be a whole lot worse for me. I could be in a whole lot worse circumstance or situation. Oh, listen, it could always be worse for our lives and our hearts. Sometimes we get a little confused and don't think about that and don't see that. I heard something years ago, never forgot it. It ain't original. I heard it somewhere. Somebody said, I felt bad that I had no shoes till I saw a man who had no feet. You know, and that's true. Sometimes we think things are bad, but it can always be worse. Oh, but listen, not just the past blessings of God and understanding how it could be, but then think about the morrow. Think about there's going to come a day that the sun's going to rise again. I don't care how dark the night gets, the sun's going to come up again. I don't care how difficult the way may be. I don't care how hard the valley is. Somebody may say, preacher, I'm a walking through a dark valley. But do you understand how a valley is made? A valley is formed because there's two mountains, one on either side. Hey, you just keep a walking through that valley. Somewhere you're going to top the mountain again. You may be going through a dark time of your life, but the sun's going to rise again. Oh, thank God. You say, preacher, I don't know if it's ever going to get any better down here. Thank God there is another day. I'm glad there's the sunrise of heaven's glory. What a day. What a time that's going to be. When the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Thank God He gives songs in the night season. You say, preacher, I feel like I'm going through some dark times of my life. Tell him. Tell him about it. You know, sometimes we'll talk about, oh, I guess I'm having it so hard. Some friend will call us and we'll say, I'm having it so hard today. somebody we'll run up with and we'll say, you know, I'm having a hard time. Be honest with him. Tell him. You say, preacher, there's things I don't understand. Tell him you don't understand it. You say, well, I thought that's sin and it's wrong. No, it ain't. It ain't wrong. Tell him you don't understand things. Tell him you need help. Tell him you can't see through the fog. Tell him, be honest, can open. Oh, if I've ever learned anything out of the Psalms of David, I've learned that David was honest with God. There were times that David was so frustrated and he'd say, why is my soul cast down? Why is everything in a mess? Why are my enemies coming in like this? David, be honest with God. Be honest with Him. Seek Him. He is the one that can give you a song in the night season. Seek Him. Isaiah 40 says, He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Then He went on to say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Heard a fellow years ago, whenever I was pastoring in Mount Airy, there was a man up there, his name was Danny Danley. He's blind. Played one of those auto harp things. I've seen him on occasions. We'd have him to come to the church up there and sing. Saw him on many occasions. Somebody get him by the arm, lead him to the front at the communion table, turn him around. He'd stand there with that auto harp and he'd strum out and he'd begin to play. One of his favorite songs was They That Wait Upon the Lord. In that song it said, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till you in your good time answer my pleas. Help me not to rely on what others may do, but teach me, Lord, just to wait upon you. Lord, help us tonight just to wait on Him. Pour out our hearts to Him in honesty and openness and say, God, I don't understand all this. And God, these things hurt. These things are frustrating and I feel like I'm in a fog. I feel like I'm in the darkness. You say, why cry out to Him? Because He's the one that gives the songs in the night season.
Amen.
He's the one. This whole world's not going to call on Him. Elihu said none cry out to Him. But I beg to differ. There's some that do. There's some godly saints. They feel overwhelmed and they'll fall on their knees and they'll begin to cry to the one that gives the song in the night seasons. You say, preacher, how long? Stately gives it to you. Oh, you say, but I've cried and I've prayed and I ain't got it. You just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will send the strength you need for your life and for your heart. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you.